This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Real-world examples of emotional control and its absence in conflict situations. What staying calm under pressure actually looks like in practice. In short, emotional control in conflict is not about pretending to feel nothing. It is about choosing your response rather than being driven by your reaction. When it works, it keeps a difficult conversation on track. When it fails, a single unguarded moment can undo weeks of trust. The person who stays composed in a heated moment is not the one who feels less. They are the one who has practiced responding deliberately. Absence of emotional control rarely looks dramatic. It often shows up as a clipped tone, a dismissive gesture, or a sentence that crosses a line. You can train this skill. It starts with knowing your own triggers before the conflict arrives. Definition: emotional control. Conflict management is the practice of recognizing and regulating your internal emotional state during interpersonal tension, so your responses remain deliberate and constructive rather than reactive and damaging. It is not the absence of feeling. It is the discipline of choosing how feeling translates into action. What to watch for before you read these scenarios. Most people think they're good at staying calm until they are actually in the fire. I have watched experienced professionals, people who knew better, say exactly the wrong thing at the worst possible moment because something in the room triggered them before they had a chance to think. The scenarios below are not morality tales. Nobody in them is a villain. They're slices of ordinary working life where emotional regulation either held or did not, and where the difference in outcome was significant. Read them looking for the moment the choice was made, often in a single breath, to respond rather than react. That is where emotional control lies. If you want to understand what happens to a team when the control collapses entirely, the piece on the amygdala hijack and team synergy gives you the physiological picture behind what you will see in these examples. Five scenarios that show emotional control in conflict. A budget meeting that nearly became a tribunal. A finance director and a project manager had been clashing for 2 months over resource allocation. The resentment was low level, but real. In a quarterly review with six people present, the finance director read out a figure that implied the project had been mismanaged. It was not framed as an accusation. It did not need to be. The project manager felt it land. You could see it in how she sat forward. But she said nothing for 4 seconds, looked at the figure on the screen, and then asked, in a flat, steady voice, "Can we walk through how that number was calculated before we draw any conclusions?" It was not a warm response. It was not a forgiving one. It was controlled. She had named the question she needed answered rather than the anger she was feeling. The conversation stayed factual. By the end of the meeting, an accounting error was identified and corrected. The relationship was bruised but intact. What this shows: emotional control does not require warmth or generosity in the moment. It requires precision. She chose a question over a statement, and that single decision kept the room from becoming a confrontation. A new hire who said too much. A team of 4 developers was 3 weeks from a product launch. Pressure was high. During a code review, a new hire pushed back on a senior developer's approach in front of the rest of the group. The pushback was technically valid. The timing and the tone were not. The senior developer's face changed. He gave a short, tight reply. "If you think you can do it better, go ahead." He left the room. The new hire, already unsettled, over-explained himself to the remaining colleagues for the next 10 minutes, making it worse. By the end of the day, 2 team members had stopped communicating directly and were routing messages to a third person.
3 weeks before launch.
This is what the absence of emotional control costs. Not a dramatic blow-up, just a clipped sentence from someone who felt disrespected, followed by a panicked overcorrection from someone who felt cornered. Both men allowed the emotional charge of the moment to drive their behaviour, and the rupture spread sideways through the team before either of them had a chance to repair it. Understanding how unmet needs drive team conflict makes clear why both reactions were almost predictable. A manager who absorbed the heat. A team leader received a complaint from a client that was, by any fair reading, the fault of a team member who had missed a deadline. In the debrief meeting with her team, the team member was visibly defensive, arms crossed, voice raised slightly, using phrases like "nobody told me," and "that's not how I remember it." The manager did not correct the distortion immediately. She let him finish. Then she said, "I hear that the communication around the deadline was unclear.
Let's look at what we can do differently next time so this doesn't happen again to any of us. She did not lie. She did not absolve him. She redirected the energy from blame toward process. The team member uncrossed his arms and sighed 30 seconds. After the meeting, privately, she was direct with him about accountability. The public space stayed safe. That distinction between what you address in the room and what you address one-to-one is a mark of someone who is genuinely in command of their emotional responses under pressure. A peer relationship that went cold. Two colleagues on a cross-functional team had worked together comfortably for 2 years. After a restructure, one was promoted and became the other's indirect manager. The dynamic shifted in ways neither of them named. In a project handover meeting, the newly promoted manager made a comment about a deliverable being not quite to standard. It was said lightly. The colleague heard it as a public diminishment from someone who used to be a peer. He did not react in the room. He withdrew. Over the following 3 weeks, his contributions dropped. His replies became shorter, and he stopped offering opinions in group settings. No confrontation. No scene. Just a slow, quiet collapse of connection. The cost here was invisible until it was significant. The manager eventually noticed the change and asked if something was wrong. The colleague said he was fine. He was not. By then, the psychological safety between them had already eroded. The absence of emotional control in this example was not a flash of anger. It was a decision to suppress rather than address, and it did lasting damage without a single raised voice. A difficult conversation that held. A team of six had a long-standing tension between two members whose working styles conflicted badly. A team leader decided to address it directly in a one-on-one session with each person before bringing them together. When the three of them sat down, within 4 minutes one person began raising her voice and using "you always" language. The other person's posture stiffened. The team leader waited one beat, then said, calmly and without apology, "I want to hear everything you both need to say. Can we slow this down a little?" He did not take sides. He did not try to solve it immediately. He used his own composure as a kind of temperature regulation for the room. When one person's anger spiked, his steadiness created a counterweight rather than a mirror. By the end of the session, they had not resolved everything, but they had each said something real, and neither had said anything they could not walk back from. That is what a controlled, present emotional state makes possible: a conversation that stays open instead of closing down. This is the practical heart of de-escalating team conflict without destroying synergy. What these scenarios have in common. Step back across all five examples, and a few genuine patterns emerge. First, emotional control almost always shows up in a single moment before the response. A pause, a breath, a choice. It is not a sustained performance. It is a threshold decision made in seconds. The project manager's 4 second silence before she spoke, the team leader's single beat before he redirected. Those small gaps are where regulation happens. Second, its absence does not require a dramatic outburst. The senior developer's clipped dismissal, the colleague's slow withdrawal, the defensive team member's crossed arms, none of these were explosions. All of them cost something. The connection between emotional intelligence and team dynamics runs precisely through these quiet failures as much as the loud ones. Third, the person who holds their composure in a conflict does not always feel calm. The finance director's project manager was angry. The team leader in the last example almost certainly felt the pull to intervene harder. Emotional control is not the absence of feeling. It is what happens when feeling meets discipline. Recognizing your own patterns under pressure. Here is the truth of it: most people reading these examples will recognize themselves somewhere, and it will not always be in the composed person. The question is not whether you have lost your emotional footing in a conflict. Everyone has. The question is whether you can begin to see your own threshold, the conditions under which your reactions start driving your behavior rather than your intentions. Think of a recent conflict where the outcome felt worse than it needed to be. Ask yourself where the moment of dysregulation was, yours or theirs, and what it cost. Then consider what a single pause, or a single redirected question, might have changed. The DEAL method for conflict resolution gives you a practical framework to apply once you can see that moment clearly. Repair is also possible after emotional control fails. The two developers in the second example did eventually come back together, clumsily, but they did. If you need to rebuild trust after a moment that went badly, the work on how to apologize in a way that actually restores connection is worth your time. Emotional control conflict skills are not given to some people and withheld from others. They are built, slowly, to practice, and a willingness to look honestly at where you have fallen short. I have been the person who said too much. I have been the person who went cold. Learning to manage the gap between what I felt and what I chose to do took years of deliberate effort. It is still a daily practice, but knowing what it looks like in the real world, in specific moments, is where that practice begins. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional control in conflict? Emotional control in conflict is the ability to manage your internal reactions, such as anger, fear, or frustration, so they do not drive your behavior. It means staying present and deliberate rather than reactive, even when the situation feels threatening or unfair. What does a lack of emotional control look like in conflict situations? It typically looks like raised voices, personal attacks, shutting down entirely, or saying things that escalate rather than resolve the problem. The person reacts from the emotional part of the brain rather than thinking clearly, and the conflict worsens rather than moves toward resolution. Can emotional control conflict skills be learned as an adult? Absolutely. Emotional control is a practiced skill, not a fixed personality trait. Most people who are calm under pressure have trained themselves to pause before responding, recognize their own triggers, and use specific techniques to lower their physiological arousal before engaging. How do you stay emotionally controlled when someone is attacking you personally? The first step is recognizing that a personal attack is almost always about the other person's distress, not your worth. Physically slow your breathing, name what you are feeling internally without expressing it, and choose one clear sentence rather than defending or counterattacking. How does emotional control affect team conflict resolution? When even one person in a conflict maintains composure, it changes the entire dynamic. It prevents escalation, creates space for the other party to lower their defenses, and keeps the conversation focused on the real issue rather than the emotional reaction to it. What is the difference between emotional control and suppression? Suppression means pushing emotions down and pretending they are not there, which typically makes things worse over time. Emotional control means acknowledging what you feel internally, and then choosing how to respond, so the emotion informs your behavior rather than hijacking it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.